W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Another victim has died from Saturday night's mass shooting at a dance hall in Monterey Park, California. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
The number of dead from the shooting here has now risen to 11. LAUSC Medical Center reports one of the victims of the shooting receiving care there has now died. Three more victims remain hospitalized at LAUSC Medical Center. One is in serious condition. The other two are recovering.
Brandon Say telling ABC he came face to face with a gunman as he tried to enter a second ballroom that night.
He was standing there with a weapon, and I was just so taken aback and shook that I froze for a second.
Say managed to wrestle the weapon away from the suspect, who then fled the scene. Suspect, 72-year-old Hukon Tran, was found by police dead by an apparent self-inflicted gunshot on Sunday. Stocks rallied Monday. NASDAQ was up 2%, the Dow up 8%. This is ABC News. Music streaming company Spotify, the latest tech company to announce a major round of layoffs.
Spotify now joins Amazon, Microsoft, and Google parent company Alphabet in the growing list of big tech companies cutting costs and laying off workers. In a memo to staff, Spotify CEO announced the music streaming company will cut 6% of its workforce. That's about 600 employees. Many media and tech companies went on a hiring spree during the pandemic when business was booming online. Now they say they're facing a new economic reality, as both businesses and consumers face higher borrowing costs and the possibility of a recession. Elizabeth Schulze, ABC News, Washington.
Former FBI agent today pleading not guilty to federal charges that connected him to a sanctioned Russian oligarch. Prosecutors say Charles McGonigal conspired to launder money and remove sanctions against a Kremlin-connected businessman. He was released on a $500,000 bond. Prosecutors in Washington announced that he faces more charges there. Andy Field, ABC News.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The man who killed a college student in Madison more than 14 years ago is going to prison for the rest of his life. David Call was sentenced on Friday for the murder of Brittany Zimmerman in 2008. He confessed to killing her last fall after evading charges for several years. Her family in Marshfield tells Channel 7 in Wausau she'd be proud they never gave up. Six trucks are out of the water after falling through the ice on Lake Pepin in western Wisconsin over the weekend. The sheriff in Goodhue County, Minnesota, says the trucks were on the ice because there wasn't any place to park on the shore. Nobody got hurt. Wardens are reminding fishers that the ice this winter is often not as safe as it looks. In sports, the Bucks are at Detroit tonight. The Badgers travel to Northwestern. You're listening to Civic Media, Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
The Rick Smith Show. where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, Oshkosh Air Support.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Go.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, Ogama, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, I just want to, before we get with the news, and it's a heavy weekend here, I just want to give prayers to the families and of the victims in Los Angeles area, Dance Hall, and also Tyreen Nichols, prayers to your family. It was another Rodney King situation. Now that we've seen the tapes on Tyreen, and our prayers go out, and it's a sad day here, but we have Ogama with the news, and I want to get going here, and we're going to have Bob Blake from Red Lake on, and Dr. Stately, so we got a jam-packed show, so I'm going to hand it over to you right away. Ho!
Hey, miigwech for that, Robert. Buju, Anin relatives, this is Ogama Ganua Kwei. And I have some news for you here on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. The story that I wanted to talk about today is one that I think people have been waiting to hear for quite some time here in the United States. The IKEA Collective put out a press release about this just over the weekend on Friday. And on the 18th, there was a police raid in the state of Atlanta, which resulted in the death of a environmental activist. Activists and San Antonio indigenous and Latin community are having a visual for the deceased Manuel Tortuguita Esteban Paez Terran, who was the climate activist killed by Atlanta police on January 18th. The press report reads that local indigenous and Latin community organizers will be holding the vigil at Breckenridge Park's Hosque Pavilion in remembrance of Manuel Paez Terran, who was shot and killed on Wednesday of last week by an still unnamed Atlanta police officer for protecting an ancient forest. The event will take place at Breckenridge Park, which has symbolically been a local point of contention between the city of San Antonio and its residents due to plans to rehabilitate the park. The deceased Hiran was a part of a group of forest defenders who were working to stop the destruction of the Waimani Forest in Atlanta. And the reason that this forest was going to be destroyed was to make way for a $90 million police training force known as Cop City. Tortuguita's murder by police is setting a dangerous precedent in the country for the climate movement and is considered the first killing of a climate activist in the United States. This really sends a very clear message that capitalists and politicians and corporations are more important than everyday citizens and constituents. This also is a big red flag for the militarization of police forces and using those as a way to defend those interests. Tortuguita's family has roots in Venezuela and their mother is currently living in Panama. As an Afro-Indigenous person, they are also another victim of police brutality, which pervades the system of policing as a tool to oppress Black, Indigenous, and Latin people of color as well, and to silence movements that go against the interests of capitalists and corporations. Want to give a shout out to Jennifer Falcon at Indigenous Environmental Network for sending over this press release for us. The quote on this says that the murder of climate justice organizers by police is an eventuality we have been holding our breath for since Standing Rock. Police brutality and violence is a part of the climate justice movement. Historically, we have been tear gassed, shot with rubber bullets, sprayed with water cannons, and attacked with dogs. And now they have escalated to murder to end our movement. No one is surprised that the first person murdered by the police for protecting the land was Indigenous, but they will not be intimidated and will continue to fight for all that is left to save. Stop Cop City, protect the Waimani Forest. Again, the vigil for San Antonio for Manuel Tortuguita Esteban Paez Terran is Monday, January 23rd, which is tonight at 6:30 p.m. at Breckenridge Park. And our prayers are out to the family of this young warrior who was killed by police. I've been doing a little bit of research on this, Robert, and it turns out that the police raided the training site that these activists were using, and apparently in the training center site, it has apparently, it says the protester killed by police on January 18th at Atlanta's Public Safety Center training site, allegedly after shooting a state trooper, has been identified, and seven others have been charged with domestic terrorism. So it sounds like there was a shootout that happened at some point. There's seven additional people during that raid who were charged with terrorism. And then there was a trooper that was wounded. And as of right now, to protect the identities of the wounded trooper, the Georgia Department of Public Safety has said that they're withholding the identities of those who were injured on the police side. But they have released the names of the other people who have been charged with terrorism. However, they have not stated the specific actions that constituted the alleged terrorism. And there were also three people who were at the site who were allowed to leave after giving their names to police officers. So I'm not really sure what's happening with that. It says that the trooper underwent surgery and is recovering. So the trooper did not die as a result of what happened during this raid. But, you know, there's a lot of things at play here. But it's disturbing to me that it was the police who came in and shot somebody over building a police training facility. Robert, I don't know if that sounds a little bit ironic to you.
Yeah, very sad. And also, I don't know, I can't help to think, Ogama, about peaceful protesters being harassed in different states and different police departments now. This is a constitutional right, the First Amendment that we're talking about.
Absolutely, yeah. And many, many places are you know, putting in these anti-protest laws throughout the U.S. And, you know, I am, for one, frightened by this, Robert.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the things, Ogma, that I grew up on in the 60s, and I was a child of the 60s and a teen in the 70s, is that this was one of the things that we could do as citizens of this country, is to protest and to speak our minds. And now certain parties are thwarting that and making laws to make us the criminals, and make the peaceful protesters the criminals. And we've seen that and experienced that in line three. We experienced that, you know, where there's, I mean, just what we're talking about, you know, Leonard Peltier still being in prison, you know, just it goes on and on and on, that there's different forces in the government and people that are holding us down. And it's something that we have to be, you know, Native Roots Radio, I'm awake, and we have to be awake about. And so thank you again for this important news, Ogma, really.
Yeah, Miigwech, for the space to share it. And prayers are up to our climate activists and their allies, who are considerably shook and horrified by this murder. And prayers are out to the family of Tortuguita.
Hey, and again, thank you, Ogma, with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Bob Blake. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Get vaccinated while discovering the inspiring work of Native American STEM professionals. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul will host a COVID vaccine clinic on Saturday, January 28th at the Science Museum of Minnesota's Native American STEM Day. Get your shot while enjoying a live DJ, activities, STEM student-led panels, galleries, and exhibitors. Plus, get $50 of gift card incentives when you get vaccinated. So let's get vaccinated and celebrate Native Americans in STEM on Saturday, January 28th from 11 to 4 at the Science Museum of Minnesota. Admission is free.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful, and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts, plus you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. That's metrotransit.org/adopt.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, Ogma, you're on mute. What's this portion brought to you?
Monday, isn't it, everybody? This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Bob Blake from Red Lake. I always like to say that at least one time that you're on. And we're here with Robert Blake, who's a director of Solar Bear and Native Sun. And we invited him on a couple days early to talk about You know, the native or the solar with the solar bear with the solar news. Ho,
hey, it is Monday. What's going on, Robert?
It's Monday.
It's Monday. Hey, you know what? I was thinking too, Robert, you know, as I was thinking about like the stuff that we should be talking about, we should be also talking about like all the great stuff that's going to be happening around renewable energy, like the 100% you know, clean energy bill, you know, because we have this blue governor, we have a Democratic governor, we have a Democratic Senate, we have a Democratic House, and all the great legislation that's up there right now, that is currently happening at the state capitol right now, in our state capitol right now. I think it's pretty cool right now.
Yeah, we talk about that, and it's great because, you know, they're talking about funding education, which, you know, when I was a kid, Bob, people came from all over the world to see how Minnesota did their education, and now we've fallen so far behind because of funding, and now hopefully the triple trifecta here will support our education.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, that I don't think we really pay attention to is like the environment that is around our kids, right? And how the kids internalize that environment, right? And right now they're, you know, they're currently talking about the solar for schools and getting more money into this program that schools around the state of Minnesota can apply for and get solar energy put onto their school. And what's really cool about this program, Robert, is that, you know, this is going to save that school district, you know, a lot of money through the years for having school, for having solar on top of their schools. And right. And they can use that money towards other programs in their district.
Bob, you've been talking about that for years, and it's amazing to hear that this is coming to fruition. It's just been an idea when you first came on the show, and now it's things like that's happening, and it makes so much sense.
And what's really nice too, and I, you know, I want to be able to say this to our legislators, whoever is listening, and also to those of you that, you know, the constituents, right? Because we put them in power. But let's remind these legislators too that, you know, that even if a school district doesn't own that particular school, because that's one of the requirements, right? A school district has to own the school to have the solar on school. I think we should include places like tribal nations, you know, and their school districts, and you know, and some of the other schools that, you know, charter schools or whatnot that can be included into this program too, because. You know, it's really important that we reach out into these other communities too that can benefit from renewable energy. And let's just think about it, like just being able to have like that visual and planting those seeds with our youth, because, you know, let's think about it, Robert. We're leaving this next generation with a very big problem. And I'm thinking that if we start planting the seeds early with them, and we start talking to them about the environment and why it's so important to take care of it, you know, they're not going to make the same mistakes that we have. You know, they're going to take care of this place better than we have. You know, it's that John Cougar Mellencamp song, you know, the future generations on the travel, I hope they have a better understanding. Like, that's what I'm kind of thinking that's going to happen here. If we take these initiatives and we put like solar on top of these schools.
You know, it's really funny, too. You know, when I was a kid, people would empty their ashtrays on the road, trash everywhere. And I remember Mad Men, the TV show Mad Men about ad executives in the 60s. I remember seeing a scene where they were having a picnic. And what they did was when they were done with the picnic, they just shook their rug and all the trash off the rug and just walked away. And so each generation... I feel like has gotten smarter about this in many, many ways, but that always seemed really ironic. But it also in the 60s, I think that was that's kind of the way things were. People weren't educated about where this stuff goes and who picks it up, and cigarette butts last for thousands of years.
And you know, and that's why I say that, you know, I think it was Confucius that said, if you're gonna plan for a year, plant rice. If you're gonna plan for 10 years, plant trees. But if you're gonna plan for 100 years, educate children. You know, like mm-hmm. like that's, you know, that's really the key here is education. And I think that if we focus in on that, then obviously, you know, I think that, you know, our children are going to do a lot better with our environment than, you know, I think previous generations have. But Robert, there are so many other good things that are happening up at the Capitol right now. I also want to talk about the 100% clean energy bill that is currently being pushed by organizations such as Native Sun Community Power Development, everyone, MN350. A lot of our other organizations that are pushing for this bill to happen. So I want everyone to learn about that and to contact your legislator and say, hey, you know, we need 100% clean energy in our state. We can be the California of the Midwest. And I think that, you know, we can lead by example here with this all blue legislation that we currently have.
I like what you said there about California, because there's a politician here in Minnesota that says we are getting just like California here. And I don't know if he meant that as a slam, but it's a good thing as far as we are concerned with energy and our ultra liberalism. Boy, that was hard to say.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, if something Robert too, I've been talking about, is that Tribal Energy Advisory Bill, the Tribal Energy Advisory Council, House File 1647, and you know I've been pushing this for 5 years. Well, guess what? The state of New Mexico has formed their very first Tribal Energy Advisory Council, and that is going to be coinciding with our Public Utilities Commission, the Public Utilities Commission in New Mexico. So this is exactly what I'm talking about. Kudos to New Mexico for handling this and getting it done. State of Minnesota, we can be the second place that does this. And so that's what I'm pretty excited about, that New Mexico did this. And of course, the state of Minnesota can do it now. Another thing that I've been working on, Robert, is creating a tribal green bank. So we are pushing for a green bank for the state of Minnesota. Everyone, please contact your legislators, talk to them about this, say you support it. As we know that, you know, what happened in Germany and their revolution around renewable energy all started with the Green Bank. And that Green Bank really took off and did some wonders for the German people and for the economy and for creating jobs in their country. And we could do the same thing here in Minnesota. But let's attach a tribal energy green bank along with it that will serve all the tribal country.
So I just want to give a shout out to, we're in the Civic Media Network all over Wisconsin, and the 11 tribes should be listening to this too in Wisconsin about the advisory council, the tribal advisory council, and have a national one along with Minnesota and Wisconsin. And also, can you be a little more specific here in the last 2 minutes we have of this segment about what the green bank is?
Yeah, so a tribal green bank will focus in on helping the financing of renewable energy projects in tribal country. As you know, that there's been a lot of problems with banking, traditional banking with tribal country. This particular bank will focus in on helping those tribal nations complete their renewable energy projects and lending capital to those communities. So just like a regular bank does, you know, like your regular bank does for yourself and, you know, for the community, it would also do the same thing for tribal nations, except that it'll be focused in on renewable energy projects. So Tribal Energy Green Bank, everyone, I am, that's right, Alice. I'm trying to get this going with the green bank that we're trying to work on here in the state of Minnesota. So I think this would be a great initiative for Minnesota to include in their own green bank, kind of like a section or a sector, but this tribal energy green bank will be able to service the whole United States.
Wow, that's totally, totally exciting news, Robert. We got less than 30 seconds here. Take over my show. What else would you like to talk about in the last 30 seconds?
Yeah, I would just say, please watch what's happening up at the Capitol, everyone. We are trying to pass 100% clean energy. Please support that. Reach out to Chris Conroy and the 100% gang that is doing that. And thank you, Energy Foundation, for supporting all of us energy justice groups that are fighting for a better and cleaner future for all of us Minnesotans. And Miigwech, Robert, for everything and all the things that you and Ogama do for our community. Love you guys.
Right on. We love you, too. This is Robert Blake with the Solar News with Solar Bear. Thank you so much for stopping in today. All right. Up next, Dr. Stately, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
The Shop.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Another victim has died from Saturday night's mass shooting at a dance hall in Monterey Park, California. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
The number of dead from the shooting here has now risen to 11. LAUSC Medical Center reports one of the victims of the shooting receiving care there has now died. Three more victims remain hospitalized at LAUSC Medical Center. One is in serious condition. The other two are recovering.
Brandon Say telling ABC he came face to face with a gunman as he tried to enter a second ballroom that night.
He was standing there with a weapon, and I was just so taken aback and shook that I froze for a second.
Say managed to wrestle the weapon away from the suspect, who then fled the scene. Suspect, 72-year-old Hukon Tran, was found by police dead by an apparent self-inflicted gunshot on Sunday. Stocks rallied Monday. NASDAQ was up 2%, the Dow up 8%. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin State Supreme Court race could determine the future of reproductive rights in Wisconsin. More than 1,000 people marched to the state capitol in Madison yesterday. It was part of a nationwide commemoration of the U.S. Supreme Court Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion 50 years ago. The Marquette poll shows 55% of people in Wisconsin are against last summer's ruling striking Roe down. One of the FBI's most wanted suspects is dead. Guards at the Milwaukee jail found Octaviano Juarez-Coro's body in his cell yesterday morning. Juarez-Coro spent years on the run after the execution-style shooting of his wife and four other people in 2006. In sports, the Bucks are at Detroit tonight. The Badgers travel to Northwestern. You're listening to Civic Media, Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million. Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has three openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a PEP-positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo Job Fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1 minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Come.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's Monday, and we're here with Dr. Stately, Executive Director of Native American Community Clinic here in Minneapolis, Twin Cities. I want to start out, Dr. Stately. I know it looks like you're having a little hamburger there. I know, let's get into a serious health crisis here. Oh, nice. A serious crisis here with the shooting in Los Angeles. And I know you lived in California, and it's just getting so senseless here.
It is. Actually, I lived in an area that was really close to Monterey Park. So when I was in graduate school, I lived in Mount Washington, which is right down the street from Monterey Park. And then I went to school in Alhambra. That's where I went, my graduate school was. And that was really close to like where the second attempt was. And that man was just on there. It's really sad because it was like such a, I was reading some of the parts of the news stories that were like, I went to the Los Angeles Times, read some of the news that was put out there. And I also texted some of my friends, you know, people that I know that I have long-term relationships with. It's so sad because I think one of the things that is, you know, really, I think maybe shocking for people to learn that it was like the gunman was an older Asian American male himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people's first thoughts were, I think even my own was like, oh my gosh, what a horrible thing to do. Like, you know, my first thought was like, racially motivated by violence. And so I'm glad that we nailed that down fairly quickly. But I think one of the things that's really like just becoming so, you know, and I'm reading the article online, and then as I'm reading the article online, another thing pops up, and there was a shooting, I think, in at a middle school somewhere, or a school in another part of the country. And I was like, this is like becoming like a regular everyday thing. And I my first thought was like, you know, we're becoming so desensitized to this as a society, right? Every single time, like I was listening to an NPR conversation last week. Sorry, I mentioned the radio station we don't typically talk about. It was Megan Chakravarti's On Point discussion about, national gun policy and gun violence policy, and talking about how, you know, there's a nice conversation in that piece about the history of the NRA as a gun lobby, right? There was a period of time where the NRA was not about actually protecting First Amendment rights and the rights to carry a gun and the rights to have a gun for self-protection, that the NRA was more about, like, you know,
gun safety.
Gun safety. And it was also about like, and they were also like, trying to support and broaden the country's interest in hunting and wildlife and those kinds of things. And it really was only in the last 30 or 40 years, I think, since and not shortly thereafter, where the Republican Party really sort of like formed this, you know, very interesting relationship with the NRA, right? And one of the things, and really made it much more about First Amendment rights, right? The right to, our constitutional right to carry a gun. And Amendment 2, right? Well, First Amendment is something else, yeah. Second Amendment, anyway.
Yeah.
See, it's not all that important. It's even in second place. So, I think one of the things that I just was disturbed by all these things recently is that, we're becoming really actually quite honestly numb to some of it, I think. In lots of places we are. Certainly it seems that it's true within the halls of Congress, right? Which is like every single time there's a mass shooting in which many, many people die, you know, the president, the vice president, the leaders in our country talk about, you know, how horrible this is, never again, but they won't actually act upon it and do something about it. We've had a recent change in gun law, you know, that bill that was passed in the 11th hour last year in 2020 with bipartisan bill. And that's a step in the right place. But I think that, you know, one of the challenges that we have is until we start to pass some real sensible laws around, you know, gun violence and gun ownership and, you know, doing the things that we can do to make sure that people who are more vulnerable to harming others are not given access to guns. And we also have to do a much better job. I think one of the things that people, I think, naturally do within this conversation is they tether the rate of gun violence in America to, or into the, in the United States. There's other parts of America, so in the United States specifically, to mental health, which is like this idea of like it's not a gun ownership or a gun registration problem. It's a mental health issue, which is, you know, I'm a psychologist and I'm a mental health practitioner, and there is no significant link or positive link between mental health disorders and violence. In fact, actually, people who have serious mental health disorders are more likely to have violence acted upon them than they are to act violence upon other people. And so I think it's really important to sort of kind of untether those two things.
Yeah, I mean, that's a super good point. Now, a point I want to bring up, Dr. Stately, too, is people talk about the violence and the TV shows, and it's like, Canada has the same TV shows basically we have. I mean, and they're not having any of the problem. And reports that I've listened to and read about, it's really been amped up since that law was about, was it a 30-day wait that's been, was repealed by the Republicans? Really is amped up since then too.
Yep. And I think it's important that we sort of like recognize that writ large across the globe in terms of developing countries or developed countries, like the United States is one of the most, you know, is a superpower. We are one of the most developed, very wealthy countries all across the world. People look to us around the globe for leadership, except in this area. And like we have a lot of the same things that, you know, other countries have, other developed countries have. Other developed countries have high rates of mental health disorder. Other countries have violent TV shows. They have, you know, all these things that we sort of kind of point to. What other countries don't have is they don't have a high tolerance for this type of activity, for this type of thing. They don't have a high tolerance for, you know, the idea of like turning the other cheek or providing more, I suppose one way of thinking of it is providing more value to the right to bear arms and the right to have access, easy access to firearms over the right to be protected from harm. To be, you know, safe in your own community and in your own homes. There's a tremendous body of research that shows, generally speaking, that gun owners are more likely to die at the hands of their own guns than they are to have somebody else harm them. They're more likely to have somebody in their family or another loved one within their family or their social structure die from the ownership of their gun than they are some random stranger. right? It's just, there's just a lot of research that demonstrates that.
Well, I'm not anti-gun, but I'm anti-machine gun. I mean, you know, hand grenades and things like that that people can still get. I mean, you're not going to, there's only two things that, you know, a submachine gun or a hand machine gun like this gentleman had. It's either intimidation or kill a lot of people quick. And that's not hunting.
And I'm not anti-guns either. I'm anti senseless killing of people.
Yeah.
I'm generally anti-killing people, but specifically senselessly killing them is is what I'm really staunchly against.
Can I quote you on that?
I think you just did it. I'm on the radio.
Just went out through the whole airwaves, all over Civic Media in the Twin Cities here. Yeah, you know, it's a sad situation here, and it's almost numbing. And part of me thinks, hey, I don't want to go anywhere where there's crowds. And the other part of me is oblivious to it because it is so gray.
Yeah. My sons asked me if I would go, they could go to the Mall of America this last weekend. And I was like, you can, that whatever you need from the Mall of America, you can order online and have it delivered to our house. And I'm pretty sure the person delivering it isn't going to be carrying a gun and shoot us. Like, so I just want to be clear. Like, I'm not like, you know, I won't go to those places, those big, huge super malls where all this crazy activity is happening and people like, I avoid it.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't go back to Valley Fair after somebody was there with a weapon either. Like, they're just like, mm-hmm. I'm erring on the side of being extra cautious. Right. And, you know, I struggle with this issue within my own family and within my own, extended family. I have a relative who has many guns. I have, like, you know, relatives who use guns and for hunting and all kinds of things, but I struggle with it personally.
Yeah. I hear you. Hey, Dr. Stately, can you hang on another segment here with us?
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with, Ogum and I are here with Dr. Stately of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org. COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of five $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Getting vaccinated doesn't have to be boring. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul is having a COVID-19 community vaccine event on Friday, January 27th that will feature music, crafts, art vendors, and more. Not only will you get to enjoy some great art, but you'll also receive $50 of gift card incentives when you get your shot. So protect yourself from COVID while having some fun enjoying Minnesota's vibrant indigenous art scene. Again, that's Friday, January 27th from 3 until 7 at the Indigenous Roots Cultural Center in St. Paul.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
We just like to see Dr. Stately's. We do that twice every Monday to see Dr. Stately's wolf dogs go crazy.
Mm-hmm. They don't do anything now. They're like probably sleeping.
Hey, we're here, Doctor.
You wanted to see my like howl, my like Ojibwe howl lips, like my. Like where?
Hey, hey, fun fact, like when we're talking about Ojibwe howl lips, also known as Ojibwe pointing lips, the baby just learned how to point recently, so nice. That's pretty exciting.
With her fingers or her lips?
The lip point. She can do the finger point. She knows how to do it, but she doesn't see it very much. But this week she started doing, which time is pretty
to name,
fun.
Time to name her. Time to get her a native name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah. Dr. Staley, it was good seeing you this week. Or was it, when it was it? Well. Friday.
Last Friday. It was fun.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Good time, and it was a pleasant
thank
surprise.
You for finding me. That was awesome. Our breakfast.
Say that again?
Thank you for buying me breakfast. That was very nice.
I just wanted to hear you say that again over the live air. Thank you. And Ogama is raising her hand. I think she might want breakfast too. No,
I think I could do my own breakfast. But, you know, I had a question. We were talking about gun violence in the last segment. And I had a question that I just wanted to kind of like pose generally to the ether. I was doing some research here on gun deaths in the U.S. And I can't really find anything that includes whether or not police deaths, like people killed by police, are included into like the statistics of gun deaths, gun murder in the United States. And I can't really find a good article that like tells me that information. It sounds like there's about 1,000 people or more in the US that are victims of murder by police, that are killed by police. And, some 30,000 people that die of gun violence in the United States. It doesn't tell me if that 1,000 is included in that number or not. So just a curiosity question there.
I think generally speaking,
Dr. Stately, you went on mute.
Yeah. He's still on mute. I think his headset fell off there. Those sacred ears he has there. Oh, he can hear now.
Sacred ears, and I'll like smudge him real quick there. I think generally speaking, when you look at national, so a good place to find national stats on like gun and gun violence and those kinds of things would be like the Department of Justice or the Bureau of Justice. And what I would say is that probably the rates of gun violence and death by gun violence don't sort of like, they don't typically break them out into categories of like, well, this is murder, this is not murder. They kind of right. They sometimes do. So you can actually go onto the national website and sometimes look into the database and drill down and see like accidental death, how much are suicide. But like gun violence is this really broad category that sort of like includes a huge number of like related cases. One of the things that was profound about listening to this conversation with On Point with Megan Chakravarti, she's the guest host of On Point and National Public Radio. When they were talking about this issue on this interview last week, there was a woman who had started about 10 years ago. She's leaving the organization this year. So in 2022 or 2012. 2013, she started an organization called Mothers Fed Up or something like that. And she, you know, she acknowledged in her interview, she's like, well, I'm a white woman, and I was really upset with, like, you know, seeing this type of gun violence and, you know, shooting kids and killing a bunch of kids in schools and things like that. So she, like, organized and mobilized in her community. And when she looked into it more with more intent and deeper, she realized that, like, she, as a white woman and a woman coming from privilege and background, she didn't understand that the overwhelming amount of gun violence that impacts, you know, our country is actually significantly greater impact on Black and Indigenous people of color communities, right? That these kinds of situations, like Black, Indigenous, and other people of color die at the hands of guns and gun violence, gun-related deaths, at a much higher rate than the rest of the population, so the general population, also known as white people. So that's kind of like how they separate that out in terms of research. So one of the things that's really profound is, like, you know, when you stop and you step back and you look at it, it's like these large mass shootings, they are becoming a little bit more frequent in our culture, which is alarming to me. You know, when I was a young kid, I didn't see a lot of this kind of stuff happening when I was a young child in the 60s and 70s. Saw other forms of violence all the time, you know, but this is a different time for us. However, when you look at it from that perspective, you go, oh, well, this is perhaps one of the reasons why it's not changing as a policy very rapidly, right? If many, many more white people died at the hands of gun violence, right, we'd see some immediate changes in laws, I believe.
Right.
But that's a stark sort of, like, you know, discussion, I think, to have sometimes.
Well, it's a good point, and I think it bleeds into a lot of different areas. Like, I've always talked about in St. Paul, Minnesota here, the graduation rate was like 52% at the most of my tenure. And let me tell you, if that was white kids, this would be an emergency. And we didn't handle it like an emergency, you know, and we just went, well, that's great, because 20 years ago it was only 19% or whatever the comments were. And to me, that's just racist.
Yep. And I think one of the things that's so, like, I can just kind of bring it down to the local level, since you mentioned St. Paul, the capital's in St. Paul, and the governor and the lieutenant governor and their cabinet today unveiled his bill, another part of his bill, which is around health, safety, and housing. And, you know, he proposes to spend a significant amount of the surplus that's available right now, and also some bonding initiatives, to significantly infuse more support to make equitable investments in health, equitable investments in housing, equitable investments in public safety. And these are really critical things that need to be made to change the outcomes for our communities and for our families and our loved ones writ large across the state of Minnesota. We have been harmed greatly by the pandemic. We've been harmed greatly by other and by large systems, right? Health systems, public safety systems, those kinds of things. It's time to sort of change that conversation and make these investments. So it was nice to see the bill introduced, and hopefully it will get passed.
Yeah, and I know they want to spend a significant amount in education too, because, like we were talking earlier in the show, that we've been shortchanged for many, many, many years here. So good news here in Minnesota.
Yeah, the governor is well known for saying he wants Minnesota to be the best place to raise a family, and certainly Minnesota is first in a lot of things, are in the top three. Education, great place to live, safety, all these other things. It's a wonderful place to be, to grow up, primarily if you're white, it isn't such a great place to grow up if you're a person of color. So,
thank you, Dr. Stately. Great to see
you. Fear you may be missing. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.